everybody. I'm Alina, and I have a 4.5 and a 2.5-year-old. And just the third share that we'll do is, like, how we are excited about equipping our children to go into our new world as of this week, and what that's going to look like, hopefully, for us. So I want my children to have an assurance that God loves everyone, no matter what, and that they are going to do everything that they can to make sure that everybody knows that God loves them. So that's my hope for my kiddos this week, and pretty much for the next several years. Basically, what we're going to do a little bit of today is talk about the influence that we actually do have on our kids. And it's a lot modeling, like Oliver was just saying, like by osmosis, if you will. You know, I have a couple of terrible, amazing examples of times that my children have just held up that mirror for me. And it's never in, like, the good things that I'm doing. Like, you know, like, hey, mommy, let me help you fold laundry because I see you do that all the time. Or, like, you know, let me help you feed the dogs. Or, you know, like, those things that are, like, you know, regular responsibilities. It's like when I have slammed up my phone or something down on a table and said, good Lord, like, out of anger and frustration that my 2.5-year-old is then slamming her little fist down on the table, like, 2 days later going, good Lord. And, like, not in response to anything, but just because she's acting out what she's seen. And so, again, I have far too many of those examples to give you, so I won't give you any more. But modeling, you know, like the influence that we have on our kids is part modeling, but it's also, it's just a something to keep in mind for us, how many other adults in their lives they could also choose to model, and how many of those people do we know all that well? How many of those people have been through some kind of, I mean, I can safely say, like, from the parish perspective, we go through diversity and inclusion training at least once a year, but usually 2 or 3 times a year. But I don't know what other people's experience is with that. Even though we go through it as faculty and staff, I don't think that the people who care for my 2.5-year-old have the option to do that, because they are caring for our children while we are doing that. And I had an incident that I observed a couple of weeks ago where one of the teachers, I heard her say something very derogatory about homelessness. And I was like, and I just, like, almost lost it and chose not to, and went and tried to talk to her immediate supervisor, and she was not available. So I went and talked to our HR person. And it's been dealt with, but at the same time, I was like, my child's brain is just a sponge. And I feel like they stay that way for quite a while. And I think even into teenagerhood, for those of you who are dealing with that, they're still very spongy. They're just not absorbing as much of what y'all are giving them. No, but I mean, like, that flip switches in adolescence, you know, puberty and all that, you know, that just switches. And so they're so much more open to all the other stuff that the world has to offer. And I think it's okay for us as parents in particular to not just give our kids this this gospel message, this love, this respect, this all of this stuff. But I think I'm going to go out on a limb here, because we Episcopalians don't like to tell people that they're wrong unless it's like liturgy or something, right? but I think that as parents in particular, we have to be able to look at a situation, see everything from the black to the white and all of the gray in between, and say, for us and our family, this is wrong. This is not okay. What has happened here, wherever, I mean, this is, you know, teenagerhood, right, in all of its gloriousness, you know, whatever it is, you know, I got caught smoking when I was, like, 13, and my stepdad wanted to sit me down and give me a carton and say, you're going to smoke until you puke. and my mom just grounded me instead. You know what I mean? Like, there's an array of options, right? And I'm not saying that, like, smokers are going to hell or anything. Like, this is not a one of those, like, little tracks that we talked about a few weeks ago. But what I am saying is that as a family unit, as parents, I do think it's well within our right to say these things are the things that are wrong. It's an issue of sort of morality at that point, which again is like murder wrong, right? Like, there are some things, there are rules and laws that our society abides by for the most part. And I think that some of those are going to be family rules, you know? Like, we don't call people names. We don't, you know, fill in the blank with what your family values are in a lot of ways. And I think that, like, this evangelism to our children, to this generation that is coming after us directly, is part modeling, and it's part actually using our words. And part of using our words also is telling our story and saying why we're saved and doing it passionately and with joy and how Jesus did it. And, you know, some people have this big, like, watershed kind of moment where, like, you know, a light hit them, or, you know, I mean, like St. Paul, right? Like, gets knocked off his horse or whatever. But some of us, it's just this growing thing that happens through our lives. And that's okay, too. It's pretty standard, I think. Most of us don't get knocked off of our bicycle on a trail by a bright light and have Jesus talk to us, you know, appear out of the clouds, right? It's not a typical experience. But so I think there's all of these parts to parenting and to parenthood that are kind of tricky. But I think at some point, we do have to, I don't know, I guess draw a line in the sand, but here's the great thing about sand. You just pour a little water on it and you can redraw the line somewhere else, right? Developmentally, things that are age-appropriate, things that in your own life have changed, right? People change all the time. And for the most part, it's painful and annoying, but it happens all the time. And so I think as parents, we kind of have to be both structured and very flexible, you know, like one of those buildings that can wobble in an earthquake and not fall down, you know. That's kind of how we have to function and build ourselves and our families, as being able to withstand these tumultuous times and still remain standing. One of the things that I think would be helpful for us to do, and we may have to do this by household or I can run and make some extra copies, but two of the tools that I was hoping to give y'all today are, one is a family rule of life. I don't know how many of you follow a rule of life personally, but a lot of times a rule of life has to do with like physical, mental, emotional health, you know, things that you want to do, routines you want to have, doing the daily office in some form or fashion. You know, exercising to maintain your physical and mental, I do exercise for mental health as much as physical health. But you know, these things that you as a family want to do. And then the other thing is, like, what is your family's, like, if you had to narrow it down to a paragraph or a sentence that, not like a Bible verse to memorize, this isn't like a, again, I know we've had some discussion about sort of evangelical heritage and being afraid of that kind of evangelism. But if you had to sort of condense down what your understanding of Jesus, the gospel, all of those things, if you had to sort of condense it down to something that as a family you could maybe say every day, maybe a prayer, something like that, like, what is your message? And what is the thing that you want your kid, your kids, to walk out of your house every day knowing with 100% certainty about God, about who they are as made in the image of God, who other people are? What is that thing? And so I have sheets. So I called it the gospel according to the whatever family, okay? And then on the back, it's the fill-in-the-blank family rule of life. I would like to give y'all time now to sort of think on these things. These are for you to keep. This is in no way, shape, or form like an assignment you have to turn back into me. Believe me, I have lots of papers to grade this week. I don't need to look at yours. And I mean, this is your thing, right? And so, like I said, if I need to make more copies, I can. But I thought it would be good for us to kind of take some quiet time in here, because I know that I like to think, oh, well, I can do this later, when the children are asleep and I'm exhausted and I'm like half asleep on the couch or something, right? Like, let's take the time now that we have it and think about at least some of this. You want to take one to go?
Sure.
Okay.
I got it.
Oh, and I have a few pins, but
I'm going to take it around. Sorry.
That one's for you. There we go.
You definitely need a
pen. If there's more than you need it.
Okay. I have a couple of extra.
Do you need one?
Yeah.
Do you need one?
Yes. There are. Yes.
But that's kind of what we do with the four-year-old before bed. What are you thankful for? What could you have done differently? And then is there anything or anybody we need to pray for? And then we do the Lord's Prayer and she goes to bed. Part of what I want to do is use this thing that I just gave you guys and do like a family prayer that we say every day before we leave the house. I don't know about y'all, but our mornings are insane and rushed. And sometimes, like, you know, if the four-year-old's going to the bathroom, if she's having her morning bathroom time, then I, like, kiss her on the head while she's going to the bathroom and we're out the door. You know what I mean? Like, that's terrible, right? Like, let me kiss you while and wipe you and then peace out. I'll see you at five, you know? And so that's something that we had talked about recently and wanting to do. And again, for a four-and-a-half-year-old and a two-and-a-half-year-old, it's going to have to be a pretty simple thing, you know? A one-liner or a two-liner that we can start saying, and of course we won't have it memorized for a while either, but that we can do, but that they can pick up on as they get older. And again, you know, maybe seasonally, and I don't mean like fall, winter, spring, although that may be seasonal for you, but like depending on what's happening, the 13-year-old insanity, you know, like these are the things I want to pray for. What do you want to pray? You know, like, we call it three-nagerhood in my house because it's a lot like teenagerhood, but Rebecca's in that stage now, which was kind of the terrible twos, but it really lasts way longer than that, where, you know, like, if you are just the teensiest bit inconsistent, she's going to explode with, you know, anger or, you know, whatever it is, because she needs more structure than ever right now. So doing something like that, again, maybe it's a yearly prayer with some family goals in it or something, you know, maybe it's seasonal based on what your family needs at that point. And then, you know, songs. Like, it can be Jesus Loves You. It can be, you know, if you've ever been to chapel here at the lower school chapel in the sanctuary, I highly recommend coming at least once, because they sing most of morning prayer. And the kids, you know, the first week of school, the kids who've been here for a long time know the prayers, and they kind of forgotten them, but they kind of start remembering them. They have a children's creed that's to the tune of ABCs, and it's, I believe in God above, I believe in Jesus love, I believe
the Spirit comes to teach me what to do.
I believe that I can be kind and loving, Lord, like thee. Amen. And they know it. All of them. Even the kids who can't sing it or won't sing it or whatever because they're not Christian, they know it. They do prayers. I mean, it's all of these things. And it's all sung to music because it's so easy to remember songs, right? You can hear one song. Right now, it's B-I-N-G-O in my house. Oh, my gosh. If I could just not hear that song for an hour, it would be amazing, right? But it's because it's catchy and they know it and they memorize it so easily. And so, you know, there's a lot of children's music stuff out there too, like anything from Vacation Bible School too. You know, those things that really, that they get into, that speak to you. I know Vacation Bible School CD is a bit much after a while, but there may be a song that you find particularly meaningful. Or you can go look up like Taizé chant, because it's so easy and it's so simple and it's very repetitive and you sing it through three times and it's done. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many things out there that, again, it's a modeling and using your words at the same time when you do it that way. The last thing I want to do, I see Father Michael is like vested and ready to go. So for those of you who are going to Love 15, I just want to talk briefly about this idea of Theotokos. Does anybody other than Melody know what this word means? Okay, so within Orthodox Christianity, the emphasis on Mary, the mother of Jesus, is very different. In Western Christianity, we tend to focus very, very much on Mary's virginity. All hail the virgins, right? Like, it's a thing, and it's influenced our culture in that way, too, right? Like, we need to be, like, happy little virgins dressed in white all of our lives, even though that's not how it works. Within Orthodox Christianity, there's this idea of Theotokos, which literally means God-bearer. And Mary is understood more as the person who bore God, literally, in her womb, and then into the world. And so what I like to think about, I kind of like to reframe that as, how are we literally bearing God into the world? And I think that one of the ways that we do that is this influence that we have on our kids. But at the same time, how are we teaching them to be God bearers, right? To bear God in them and yet bear God into the world. And so as we kind of wrap this up and as we're thinking about these things that are important messages that we want to give our kids and that we want to be a part of the DNA of our family, the spiritual DNA of our family, It's something to sort of reflect on. Like, we bear God within us, just as Mary did, but there will come a time when God's ready to burst forth and be born into the world for each of us, you know, and for our kids. And so having that vocabulary, maybe even using some big churchy words, right? Like free will for a four-year-old, that's amazing, you know? But, like, taking some of those things that are very important, the word incarnation. I didn't know what that meant until I was, like, 20, I think. It was just a church that I knew in Dallas, you know what I mean? But, like, really understanding incarnation is a pretty big, kind of a heavy thing, you know? And so giving them vocabulary, giving them practices like prayers and creeds and music and things like that to rely on when they find themselves in these tricky situations is going to be very helpful. So thank you all for coming. It's been a joy to be with you. I hope that you've at least taken something, one little thing here or there. And hopefully I'll see you again.